Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Let's bring in Titans general manager Rand Carthon, who's live from Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine. Rand, good morning. Thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
Top of the top. How we doing? I enjoyed that Genesis commercial. I'm in the market for a Rolex, so I might have to hit that up.
Hey, there you go. See, we're already helping you out, you know, this morning. The Combine is always an interesting time. I've gotten to go to a few, and I had the luxury of being with a former GM, so watching him navigate that and watch talent was really cool for me. But for you, how do you tackle the Combine, especially now that this is your second one as a general manager and knowing that you got a shopping list that you want to fill out, but you also have a lot of cap space and obviously a really good draft pick to fill that shopping list. So what are some things that you're kind of looking for in talking to these guys and watching these guys work out?
I'm really looking forward to spending time with these players. it'll be my first exposure to them, in terms of being able to talk to them. You know, went out on the road and saw a few of these guys play live, in the fall. But, you know, actually being able to sit down, get to know them as people, get to know what makes them tick, and get to see how they ultimately fit, you know, in our organization, our city, and our state.
I know that we talk a lot about the cap space. You were asked about that in your press conference you just did. But, you know, where are you guys as far as planning to spend the actual cash? Because you cap space is great. You can make that work with the contracts. But, you know, when it comes to actually spending the money and being smart about it, like you talked about, bringing in players that are going to fit the team, what's kind of that balance and knowing that you can use the cap space to your advantage, but also – you know, having to spend the actual money?
Yeah, I think I've said, like, you know, we have to exercise patience, you know, and just because we have it don't mean you have to go out and recklessly spend it. I think back to when I was a little kid and, you know, you get money in your pocket and, you know, you go to the store and the first thing you want to buy, the first thing you see, you know, because you have the money. And I just remember my parents saying, you know, that money is burning a hole in your pocket. Mm-hmm. You can't wait to spend it. But we just got to exercise patience, understand that we'll be well positioned to, you know, target, you know, any player that we see fit, but not just, you know, if there's another guy available and not just jump off and, oh my God, we have it, so let's go get it. And then, you know, on the back end, we're put ourselves in a position where we're now having to restructure and do a bunch of different things to be in compliance. So there are going to be other good players that come free later in the process. That we have to be well positioned to swing at, as well as have operating costs, you know, for the season as we, you know, make different roster moves and such. So it's going to be a exercise of patience. We'll be well positioned and, you know, real detailed in who our initial targets will be, and, you know, hopefully be in position to bring those guys aboard. But, you know, again, I'll say it again, it's like we're just going to have to exercise patience.
Yeah, and along those lines too, Rand, and I know the burning a hole in your pocket, like that's a great way to look at it. You want to be smart. But if there is a guy that you covet, that you just think he's got to be a Tennessee Titan, he's going to make our team better, he's going to fit our culture, he's going to work well with Brian Callahan and Will Levis, do you subscribe to the fact that you might have to pay a little bit more than the sticker price or that you wanted to, but if that guy is worth it, that you and Amy are willing to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. But I look at it like this. The market is the market, right? I hear, you know, obviously I'm new to Nashville, but I hear people talk about the housing market and the cost of homes of what it used to be in Nashville versus what it is now, you know, at the end of the day, you have to pay, you know, all of what the market dictates, you know. However, you know, you can look at it as the average per year, or you can look at it as the percentage of the cap. And usually the percentage of the caps are numbers that kind of stay consistent, you know, on how positions are valued. So however you choose to look at it, you look at it. But like you said, if there's a guy that we covet that we really feel like can help our program grow and that can add value to our program, we're going to, you know, try our damnest to get him signed.
We're talking Titans general manager Rand Carthon here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And Rand, thanks for doing this with us. We asked our listeners to send in questions for you to ask. And one was a great question from Lenny. I'm sorry, from Ben. He says, after the first round of free agency ends, how do you adjust your draft strategy knowing who is left for second round or third round of free agency? Is there a setup for that when all the guys are like the first wave goes? Do you have something set up for the second wave and so on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a plan you kind of know where the values are, you know, where the draft is heavy, where the, you know, where free agency class is heavy. And again, there'll be some guys that slip through the cracks that you did not think you had a shot at. Example of that is last year, us, you know, signing Aziz. You know, me having come from San Fran, to me in my mind, it was a foregone conclusion that he'd be going to Houston, you know, to play for D'Amico, who was his position coach and who was his D coordinator. But then we're sitting there and Aziz is available, you know, and so for us, it was a quick conversation. We had the space and, you know, not only a quick conversation between, you know, Aziz's representation and I, but, you know, our staff and the fit for him. And so we were able to step in and get him. And I mean, he became, you know, single season, you know, tackle leader, you know, in franchise history. So, those type of things are going to happen. You know, there'll be a guy too that slips through the crack. But then, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you don't want to make a habit of doing that all the time.
Rand, we get a lot of questions about Derrick Henry. Will he come back? Will he not come back? We learned yesterday he's not going to be franchise tagged. I'm guessing you get asked that question quite a bit, right? About the future of Derrick Henry.
I get that question more than anything. I get that question more than how you doing. So yeah, I get that a lot.
It's one of those things where, you know, it's probably, you know the answer. Derek probably doesn't know the answer yet and everything. This will all play out on its own, right? Is this typically how it happens?
Yeah, we're going to let it play out. And like I said, for the most part, we don't like to, you know, what we call family business, you know, because that opens the door when you speak about it publicly. That opens the door for, you know, little fires to be created that may not exist. You know, we have a close relationship, obviously, with Derek and with his representation, Todd France. And so those conversations will be had when they need to, and we'll see how it all shakes out.
Rand, you're going through the combine. You're talking to a lot of players up there. You have a lot of questions when you sit down with these guys. Is there one important question more than any other question that you ask these guys that could, I don't say make or break if you're going to draft them or something, but is there that question you have in your back pocket where you really want to hear a good answer from this young man?
Actually, I don't. For me in this process, I sit back and more so listen, you know, throughout this process and allow our area scouts and our national scouts to lead. You know, they're the guys that have been going in these schools for the last 3, 4, 5, and 6 years of getting to know these guys. And so I think it'd be selfish of me to, you know, jump into this part of the process and try to take it over and ask all the questions. So I let them drive the interview, and I just listen, and I'll add a question in, you know, here or there. But, you know, realistically, I just like to hear about their passion for the game, how they approach the game. If there is a question, I'll ask them. It'll be more so about their preparation in the week and what that looks like for them, and have them talk me and walk me through that. That'll be the one question that I'll typically ask, just to see if they have a plan on how they're going to attack the opponent each week.
Titans general manager Rand Carthon online with us. So how would you compare the top receivers like a Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, that have been, you know, predicted to be around 7, to the top left tackles like a Joe Alt or a Ola Fashanu that have been predicted to be around 7? How do you decide between that when those positions are so completely different?
I think it, again, you have to look at the totality of the team, you know, and what moves we're going to make during free agency. I know there's a school of thought that some people wish that the draft was before free agency. You know what I mean? So you can get the young guys in and see where you need to supplement with the vets. But I think when you're looking at, you know, just to use that example you gave me, it's, you know, what moves are made in free agency, you know, and then by that time, you know, by the time the draft comes, we'll have had more time to, you know, talk about our scheme and how we're going to do things and in what ways can we adjust if we don't have, you know, certain positions. Then also it's a peek into the future. You know, peek into the future of the 2025 draft. Like, where's the 2025 draft going, and where's that going to be heavy? You know, is it going to be O-line heavy again next year? Is it going to be receiver heavy next year? Is it a need that we can address right now? And then also, like, what receivers or offensive linemen are going to be available, you know, at the you know, when teams start making moves? So it's all those things that you have to weigh. It's not as simple and dry as, you know, who's available for you at the draft.
So with more quality depth at wide receiver in free agency than maybe tackle, how does that affect your draft strategy, or are you even that far yet?
No, we're not, but we're very close. When we get back, we're going to have our free agency meeting with our coaches. We've already had the free agency meetings with the scouts. And so, with you know, being that we're a new coaching staff and these guys are coming in, hitting the ground running, you know, hence why they're not here. They're back home, you know, doing the work. So we'll be able to have more of a clear thought of that once we get back and have the meeting with the coaches.
So you got your quarterback in Will Levis last year, but, you know, you have a high pick. So I know you do the due diligence and there's some quarterbacks. How much research do you do on those top quarterbacks, even though you know you got a pretty good one in Will?
No, I think you have to do the research. If for nothing more, it's like these are going to be guys that you got to play against. You know what I mean? Our division is well positioned and everybody has a good, you know, young quarterback. You know, and we're going to play each other multiple times a year. But these are going to be potentially the quarterbacks that we got to play to get to our ultimate goal at some point. So being able to study them and have a, you know, have a vision for them, because some of these guys you're only going to play every 4 years. You know, so you're not going to see them that much. But, you know, if nothing else, you're doing them, you know, just to have an idea of who they are and what they're capable of doing.
Rand, again, thanks for doing this, and thanks for answering all of our hypothetical questions. We know the hypotheticals well. Another question for you. If there's a player A out there that you really like and you have a chance to go get him, but you understand that he's wanting so much more money than, you know, previously asked for, do you sit down with Amy and Chad and say, all right, here's what we do, here's how it goes? How does that process work when you really want somebody, but they're asking for a lot more than maybe you think they're worth?
Well, I think them asking for it and actually getting are two different things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I tell my kids all the time, a closed mouth don't get fed. And so, you know, if they can ask, but if the market doesn't dictate it, then, you know, you may overshoot your hand and may end up actually getting less. You know, however, you go into every negotiation having a walkaway price, you know, because you don't want to start setting the precedent of constantly overpaying. And so, you know, we're going to go and, you know, we're going to be within the market. And if you have to, you know, we always go into a situation of saying, hey, like, this is what the market dictates. This is where we can ultimately get up. Like, I'm okay with going, you know, up a little bit more if we have to, but you also have to set a walkaway price and say, you know what, at this point, like, we're not going that high, you know, because again, you have a long-term responsibility to the organization, to be tactful in how you spend the money.
Again, another hypothetical. Do you think you will be active or the Titans on that first day? I know you had the chance a few days before that to talk to people in the legal tampering part, which is a crazy, great oxymoron. But you think you see you guys hit the ground running that first day, Rand?
Yeah, so I'll tell you this. Like, last year we were active. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the deals didn't come to, you know, come in place, you know, on the first day. They weren't announced, you know, on the first day. You know, so that whole, like, you know, if nothing is announced on the first day, doesn't mean that we're active or not active or we hadn't been working. It's just a matter of being able to, you know, get the terms agreed to. And plus, I'm the type of person that, you know, I don't believe it until it's signed, you know, because I've seen situations and I think we've seen it, you know, with some of these coaching staff, you know, hires where a coach is reported going here and then, you know, the news breaks that this person is going here. And then, you know, 2 hours later, okay, the coach is not going there. So, you know, for us, like, you know, we can agree to terms and, you know, probably won't have an official, you know, announcement to make until we know we've got pen to paper.
Very good.
Rand Carthon is with us, Titans general manager. And, Rand, you know, you come across as a very laid-back guy, a guy that loves football. You grew up in football and have been very outspoken about that. And as you enter year two as GM, you go through year one and look, you guys didn't make the playoffs. It wasn't what anybody wanted. You got a new head coach. You know that criticism kind of comes with the game. How did you adapt to that and adjust to getting that criticism to make yourself stronger and make you better at your job, and how will you apply that into year two?
Man, I just ignore the noise. I mean, there's a reason why I'm not on social media, you know, so you don't have to, you know, hear all that. Like, I'm not on social media, but, you know, I have friends and family that are, and they kind of, you know, keep me in the loop. Again, you don't go out to be in one of these positions and not know that scrutiny is going to come. But to me, the cure-all to it all is winning football games. And that's what my focus is and always will be, is winning football games. And I know that the more we could do that, the better off we'll be. And that's my job. And I know ultimately if I don't do enough of that, then I know this won't be my job. And so I try to stay focused on, you know, the guys in the building hear me talk about it all the time, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is constantly improving this roster and putting us in position to win football games. And so that's always been my focus.
Rand, one more before you go. To me, the best place on planet Earth is Key West, Florida. When I found out,
man, I agree with you.
When I found, in fact, Chase and I went down and saw you guys beat the Dolphins. We stayed in Key West. We actually drove by Key West High School, and I said, "Hey, that's where Rand Carthon went to high school." What was that like growing up in Key West and playing football down there?
Well, I'll tell you this: the Key West High School you drove by is not the Key West High School I went to, and I say that tongue in cheek because it's a new school that was rebuilt. And so it was rebuilt after I left. So we all joke, all of us old heads, and say, yeah, we went to Key West High School, but our Key West High School didn't look like that. So I think the only thing that's still the same there is that big conch shell that you passed that was in the front of the school. That's pretty much a landmark. But growing up in Key West was awesome. I tell anybody, if you've ever been to the Bahamas, it's the Bahamas stateside. You know, big influence on me and my demeanor and my approach to everything. It's a, you know, a laid back place, you know, fun loving, you know, everybody takes care of everybody. You know, it's a very small island, so everybody knows everybody. And so it's very family oriented, very community oriented. You know, I get so much support, you know, from, you know, my family in Key West. When I say my family, I'm talking about my actual family and my extended family and people that have just become family to the point of, you know, the last game of the season, you know, versus Jacksonville, I had 18 people from Key West in town.
Woo.
You know, from my high school coach to friends from high school to their husbands, their wives. And that's the type of community we have. Like, if one of us, you know, is doing something or, you know, are in a place that needs support, like, everybody comes out to support. So Key West is awesome. You know, I was blessed to, you know, be able to live there and grow up there, and it really shaped me and helped mold me into who I am today.
Beautiful.
Rand, as we let you go, I'm going to give you a question to ask a prospect, because as I interview people in my job as program director, I want to know how they think under pressure. So I use this one a lot. So I'm going to let you use it too. If you're sitting at a blackjack table and the dealer has a 7 or above and you have a 16, do you hit or do you stay?
What's the correct answer? Is there a correct answer?
It's up to you. It's how you deal with a pressure situation, because it's kind of a coin flip. So that's why I leave that up to, you know, whoever's answering the question. I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer.
Some of these guys are gamblers. They'll hit on 17s.
Exactly. Rand, appreciate this so much, and we look forward to talking to you again down the road after the draft. But enjoy the combine, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. That's Rand Carthon, right, Titans general manager, joining us here on the Chasing Big Joe show. Really good stuff there. We'll take your reaction to some of the things you heard from the Titans GM. Again, Titans head coach Brian Callahan going to join Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up at 11. It's the Chasing Big Joe show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.